This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. You know, I don't know if people have been following this, but the Medicare supervisor, the director, announced recently that they were changing the way that doctors and hospitals were going to be paid, and they were going to switch from fee-for-service to something called bundling, which basically pays one global fee for whatever the procedure or hospitalization the patient and whatever the encounter is. And there's something called pay for performance, which they're starting. And they're saying that this is going to save a lot of money for Medicare. And as Medicare goes, so does the commercial insurances. And this is the first step towards single payer. And they're making it sound like this is the greatest thing for patients. But what they're not telling you is the fallout from this will change the way healthcare is delivered and who gets the delivery of this healthcare. We talked a lot in the show about how Obamacare is set up, and there's something called an accountable care organization where you have doctors, hospitals, basically a consortium of providers who take care of patients, and the goal, they claim the goal is to improve care, to make sure that patients have a team that takes care of them. And what it really boils down to is a concerted effort to keep people out of the hospital, to make sure that they actually don't even come into the doctor's office, and everything's done remotely, because that's where the money will be made. I mean, this is a system that's designed to collect money from you, and it makes money by not offering you services. So there's something called capitation. I don't know if you know this, Dave, but back when the HMOs first started, I guess back in the late 90s, that there was a plan called capitation where you would get a certain amount of money up front, and you would work off of that money. That means any patient care, any patient that came in, any services that you offered, the money would come from that pot that you got at the beginning. I don't know if you remember that back in the day.
You caught me with my volume now. No, I don't remember that.
Ah, well, that's one of the things that patients complained about, because they had gatekeepers, you know, primary care doctors, who they had to go through in order to get any service, because that's where the money lies.
Oh, I'm sorry, I do remember that. Yeah, sure.
Well, part of the problem was access was pathetic. You had people being managed forever with medical problems that a lot of times are outside the scope of the primary care doctor. And their incentive was to keep you in their system, not refer you. Basically, they didn't have to, not even see you, treat you by phone. And that's kind of the Kaiser model. That's where that started. So there's a little twist under the Obamacare system, because ultimately they're being paid now, or providers are being paid for outcome, which doesn't make any sense. So the government believes that if you take a certain number of days to treat a sinus infection or congestive heart failure or whatever the disease is, you should have a certain number of days to treat it. The outcome should be the same for everybody, no matter what. And if anybody falls outside of those parameters, somehow the doctor, the hospital, is not providing good care, and they won't be paid for it. Now, the chilling part about this is that this is a money-driven system, overseen by humans, and we're going to have people who decide, I can tell you this, you can predict this, you're going to have to be a soothsayer for this, but the people who are the sickest will actually get the least care, because they will hurt the bottom line of the doctor's office, the hospital, whoever the healthcare deliverer is, and they will be selected out. And that's really going to mean that the people who are the sickest are going to get the least access, who are going to get the most routine care, to keep them on the phone, basically, to keep them from coming in. because they're going to mess up, they're going to skew the results of the outcomes of that hospital or that doctor's office. I mean, that's very just kind of mercenary, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Nobody's looking at it that way. But I mean, this is what's going on in the United Kingdom, and they're basically, their system is, it's not even like a lottery. I mean, if you're really sick, if you're a senior citizen, you're not getting very much care there. I mean, you are being warehoused. And that's the system that we're adopting. I mean, talk about a death panel. And it's not going to even, you're not going to get a chance to get to the hospital in some, if this rolls out the way they want it to. You're just going to be treated at home and put on hospice. I mean, there's a whole movement in government, different governments. In New York, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. There's a, the New York Senate is trying to introduce euthanasia bills. And it's okay and legal for doctors to euthanize their patients, you know, and to talk about, you know, end-of-life decisions. What that means is they're trying to coach people or indoctrinate people to believe that once you're ill, once you're senior, that you should just not even want to access the system because it's not worth it. That, you know, you'd be more comfortable in a hospice. You'd be more comfortable made with palliative care. I mean, that's the push now. And they're actually paying for this with Medicare. So that's now become a codable, a billable item. Yeah, I think you probably get paid pretty well for talking about end-of-life services. And you go for actually taking a cataract out or doing a hip replacement or actually taking care of somebody and improving their quality of life and curing the problem. I mean, this is just a sick system. It's driven by death. It's driven by selfishness. And I just don't see how this is tenable for anybody, especially doctors, who want to practice the Hippocratic Oath. I mean, this is incredible. And this will also, if you really think about this, mandates. We've got a huge push towards vaccination all of a sudden. I mean, it just seems like everything is, even the Grammys were practically talking about, you know, you know, you have to vaccinate your kids, and Conan O'Brien, all these, you know, pop culture people are trying to push people into thinking about, you're evil, you're a bad parent, you should want to get vaccinated. People should be forced to, they should be arrested if they don't. I've never heard rhetoric like this before. But there is a concerted effort. You have to think about the bigger picture. Why? And if they get mandates on vaccines, what else can they mandate? It's a slippery slope. And if you have medical tyranny or medical decisions are forced on you, then when is it going to be that they force you to pull a plug on your family member or force you into hospice? I mean, where does it stop? And it should not be the choice of a government entity, of something central to decide your health care. I mean, and what you put in your body and what you're forced to do to your children, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm not sure what's your take on that, Dave.
No, I agree with you. I think that you know, there was some misrepresentation on the vaccine from the study in the UK. However, I think it's still a bottom line. It's my child. It's my decision. And what I look at is just like you said. It's not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't the vaccine, but that's not the important thing. It's if they get one mandate, they force you to do one thing, tomorrow they're going to force you to do something else, and that worries me. And then they'll have a precedence that they can go back to and say, well, we did this in 2015, so it's okay to do this in 2018, you know? And
that's very true.
That really scares me. That, you know, it's got to be between you and your doctor, and you're supposedly 21 and an adult. It should be your choice.
Absolutely. I mean, they've even taken that choice away from parents in California. They can do whatever they want to, basically, to your child in school in terms of vaccines, sexual education, everything. And they say the child has the ability to consent. Just opt the parent out. Just cut them out of any decision-making. And that's crazy. And I don't understand parents ceding that authority. There's a study or a story about a mother's child who was vaccinated, and then the school basically said, oh, well, my bad, we apologize. But it was already done, and the mother was really just outraged. I don't blame her. I suppose the child had an interaction, a bad reaction to the medication or to the vaccine. Nobody's held blameless because the system gives immunity to the vaccine industry for any bad outcome, which, again, anybody in the right mind should question. Something that if your child or you get injured, you cannot sue them. There is no, you can't, they're whole harmless, and they can just continue to do it to other people. How can, there's something wrong with that equation. And if it's this situation where they're forcing you and the government is behind this and they just have more incentives to push more vaccines on people, where does it stop? This is a system that's not built on health. It's built on somebody making money off of you, somebody controlling you, and if you do have a problem, then you're lucky. There's nowhere to turn. The government does not have your back on this. Those vaccine courts rarely award money to the parents. I think there's, you can count on your hand, one hand, how many people actually won one of those suits when they've gone to them to plead their case. And the history of these things are crazy. The SV40 virus, which is a Sydney, it's a monkey cancer virus that was used to grow the polio virus. They grow these things in culture. Whenever they grow in culture, they can actually transmit the DNA too. So there was studies, and there were people, whistleblowers, that basically said that there were cancer viruses within the polio vaccine, and that went on for years until they took it out or they changed the formulation. How many people now in their 60s, 70s, and above who have cancer are victims of taking a vaccine, excuse me, when they were children? No one's going to tell you the truth or admit to it, but it's out there, and I recommend that people really do their due diligence, go read the inserts of these vaccines before you take them. Make the doctor or the nurse at the hospital show you the vaccine insert, and you need to read it before you decide to put that into your system. The cold and flu vaccine is a great example. They're telling us that they picked the wrong strain of flu virus in this dose of vaccine, and it's not very effective at all. I mean, I think it's 25%, but you should take it anyway. For what? And the people coming down with the disease, are some of them had the flu vaccine, and they're sick as dogs, and they're ending up in the hospital. And now we have the largest number of seniors who are ending up in the hospital and dying from the flu. And I can bet you a majority of them got the flu vaccine. So there's a lot of question marks, and it's all about choice. We talked about the flu, about vaccines in general last week, and choice. But this is bigger than that. This is coming down to everything you do is online to be mandated to make you go down a certain path. That's a problem. And the good of the many does not outweigh the few, especially when the decisions that are being made are made by people who have something to gain, who have a dog in the hunt, who are making money off of you, and who want to basically social engineer us. I mean, every vaccine that potentially comes out, including Ebola, the cigarette smoking, anti-smoking vaccine, the HIV vaccine, there's going to be some that's talked about that make you change your attitude so you can't get angry. I mean, there's all like chemical lobotomy. There's all sorts of things that have been talked about, written about, that I think that you need to know about before you make an informed choice. And that's really what it comes down to. Now, I don't know if we have to take a break, Dave.
Yeah, on that note, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think, you know, as I said on the show before, don't listen to me. Don't just go by what I say. Do your own research. Do your own due diligence. This is about people taking responsibility for everything that they do, whether they want to take vaccines, whether they want to eat genetically modified foods, whether they want to put their child in public school or college for that matter. I mean, this is all about you now deciding what you need to do, what aligns with your values, and what's worth your money, and what your health is worth to you. I mean, we're living in a system where, for example, the anchor from one of the news shows is caught lying on multiple occasions. And instead of firing him, they're going to give him 6 months, leave, and they'll call you back at the anchor desk. That's how little they think of us. That's how stupid they think we really are. They can just literally make up whole cloth lies, present them as the truth, and we're just supposed to just go with it. You know, I've never seen, I guess it's been going on forever, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a situation where pop culture, media, celebrities, everybody seems to be in on this bandwagon to try to indoctrinate us as American citizens to believe in an agenda that's morally bankrupt, that's been exposed for being lies. Global warming now is the most recent lie that's been exposed, that one of the, somebody's looked into this, into the records of the last 50 years or so, maybe longer, and they found that they've been lying about the temperature, that they've raised the temperature that they've been quoting by 1 degree every year to try to, you know, pad their story, to make it seem as if we're getting warmer, when in actuality it's not happening. And they're, this is the same playbook every single time, demonizing anybody who has a question, putting people, you know, basically threatening them if they tell the truth. And this is a pattern. It's everything that in our society, whether it's the news about our unemployment rate going down, which is completely untrue. One of the CEOs from Gallup poll who wrote that, it's actually the opposite. And then he retracted his statement after he said it was a lie that the employment rate is going down. And he basically said, I'm going to retract this because if I want to get home tonight, I want to make it home to my family, I don't want something to happen to me if I tell the truth. It's not even just bullying. It's actually a system of, I don't even know what to call it. But anybody who tells the truth is really putting their reputation, their life, their way of life at risk to tell the truth. There's a Dr. Tenpenny, for example, who's been writing about the vaccine fiasco and the fact that there's vaccine injuries that have gone on, and she's documented on a website. And she was threatened. Her life was threatened recently. She had to stop or remove herself from various talks that she was supposed to give because she was threatened. I mean, this is a system now where you cannot be an outlier. You can't think for yourself. You cannot be an individual because something or some person or some entity will come against you and try to shut you down. The worst thing that they can do is kill you. And the least thing is to call you a racist, to try to shame you publicly. And we've allowed this to go on way too long, honestly. We've put ourselves in a position now where we're on the defense for everything. Any person who wants to, this is just endless now. Anybody who wants to educate their child at home is being demonized as some sort of anti-public school person, and they need to shut down homeschooling. They need to make sure that they have the same curricula as the public school system, anything to water it down, to remove it from competition, is what happens. You know, how can anybody believe, and just jumping around here a little bit, that the unemployment rate is actually dropped, when in the next rate they tell you that the people going for unemployment insurance has risen? How does that work? If you cannot have an increase in unemployment, you know, new claims, yet have a drop in unemployment, that's mutually exclusive, and anybody who sits there and says and believes that must have absolutely no critical thinking skills, want to put their hands in the sand, want to be deluded, you know, by these powers that be. And anybody who thinks that somebody in Hollywood should be the one to tell you that you need to, that you're something wrong with you because you want to have access to quality health care, and you don't want to go through the Affordable Care Act, that it makes you a bad person, when you know that they have never and will never sign up for Obamacare and or any of the government, you know, mouthpieces in Congress who pushed for this, who ran on this, who voted for this, and who continue, now that the powers have switched, continue not to vote against Obamacare. How can you believe anything that's being said to us, no matter what it is? It's been exposed over and over again as some, you know, some lie that they're trying to perpetrate to control people. I just don't see how people are able and willing to continue to sit back and take this. As a physician, we really have. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Did you happen to see Waters World the other night? And I brought this up on another show, but yeah, you asked the question, how can people do this? You know, he was interviewing some 20 to 30 year old people in Florida, and his question was, and this even got my wife's nose out of her book, which is very hard to do. But he was asking people, well, what do you think about Taliban? What do you think about the Taliban? Who are the Taliban? And all of their replies were, well, you know, I hear they're a really good band. I think they're playing around the corner. I haven't heard them yet, but I'm planning on hearing them. And it was mind-boggling. And you ask, how can we let this happen? When 52% of the population has that mentality, they're too lazy to know what's going on. They don't know who their U.S. senators are. They don't know their representatives. They don't know anything. All they want is, well, the government's good and well as long as they give me something and I don't have to pay for it. And they really don't even care, because they're young or they're in that point. They don't care about medical services being good, bad, or indifferent. Well, if I get a call, I just want to be able to go to the emergency room or go to a doctor and get treated for free, and I'm sure they're all good, and, you know, that's all I need. That's your answer to the problems that we have today.
Well, yeah, I think that's been another social engineering feat, which is to push us into, or to lull us into thinking that we don't have to take personal responsibility for something, that somebody owes us something, that we are a victim. Everybody's a perpetual victim of something. And whether you're a woman, whether you're a man at this point, whether you're a minority, whether you're, you know, whatever your religion is, whatever your sexual preference is, everybody is a victim looking to point a finger at somebody else. And the government is doing a fantastic job of keeping that strife going and trying to give the answer that they have the answer for everything, and that we should look to them to for the answers and to run everything. And that's the last person or last entity that should be running things. Because when you look at the collection of the government workers and the people who are in government, I mean, what's going on in the news media is just a microcosm of what's going on in the government. They lie constantly. They have handlers who they are beholden to in order to get their money for the next round of elections. And this is a government that's run by big business, by crony capitalism. And they've been demonizing capitalism for the past 8 years, but it's not capitalism we're talking about. We're talking about cronyism. Capitalism really is individuals competing on a even level where if you're really good, you survive. If you're not, you have to change, you have to evolve, you have to get better, or you won't be in business. That is not what's going on. I mean, look, they've actually made this such an unlevel playing field. They've taken money, they've taken resources from all of us collectively and basically propped up the entities that have failed over and over again, whether it's the Wall Street crowd, the banking industry, the healthcare industry. These are all complexes that don't work. Well, they work for a few people. That's not true. They work for a few people. They work for the people who are scamming off the system in a bunch of leeches, and they're sucking our blood, whether we be patients, doctors, people who, taxpayers, parents. None of us are getting what they're promising. You know, give me your money, I'll take care of you, is not working. Let me make the decisions for you is not working. And what they've done with kids, you're right. They've indoctrinated a whole generation to believe that it's okay to be mediocre, that everybody's special, that everybody needs to get a prize, that, you know, if you don't succeed or you're not successful, somebody took it from you. I had a conversation, really interesting. I don't know if I told you this. I had a conversation with a physician when I was doing a speech about a month ago. And she told me that, a teacher actually, she told me that kids in her school, the kids who graduated from college, really did not feel that they wanted to be successful because there was something wrong with it. That's the definition of going to college, is to put yourself in the position to be successful, right? So these people, these kids feel that that's a problem, that that's something that they shouldn't strive for, then we're in trouble. They've won, because the next generation is going to be happy with whatever crumb they get. And they're going to look to their neighbor. If they got a bigger piece of the crumb than they did, they're going to try to take them out. They're going to do the work for the powers that be for them. It's crazy. Isn't it?
Oh, it's beyond crazy. Your message and our message from the station is we have to change this. We have to get people back. Thank goodness that all kids aren't that way. Thank goodness that all people aren't that way, or we would have no volunteer military, you know?
Yeah.
It would be gone. But thank goodness there are individuals, young individuals, that see the light and want to protect their country and be a part of it. Or they want to succeed. You know, they have the attitude, well, if you don't want to succeed, that's your problem. I'm going to anyway. And, you know, the ones that do succeed, they will ultimately win out. The takers, the ones that want a free ride, they won't win in the long run.
No. I think that we can avoid going down that path, though, if people who want to succeed start to speak up. I mean, there's another example. This is another example of what's going on right now. Apparently, up in the north, you know, they have these snowstorms. Two teenagers decided they wanted to be enterprising, and so they created a small business, you know, okay, to go and shovel people out. Of course, one of their neighbors complained to the police. How can you complain about somebody shoveling snow? I don't get that. So the police come in, and they stop the operation because it's illegal for anybody to perform a job without being licensed to do so.
We
shut them down.
We need to stop on that note and take a quick break, and I've got an answer to that when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings for Medicine on Call and participate in a lively conversation. Learn what's happening behind the headlines in medicine. Understand Obamacare. And learn how to protect yourself and navigate the system.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, the fact that the hypocrites who are driving the argument for what you can't do, you know, you can't have a gun, you need to put your child in public school, you need to go to hospice because you're taking up too many resources. These are the same people who are sucking resources. I mean, look at Al Gore, for example, with his home, probably has multiple homes, but the one in Tennessee is so enormous that it sucks up so much energy that global warming, I mean, basically, if he shut down, I'm sure Tennessee would drop significantly in their energy consumption. Or you have the guy who owns Virgin Atlantic, who talks about global warming. You own an airline. How much carbon are, you know, emissions are you and your business? If you really cared about it, why don't you sell it? Why do you fly everywhere with private jets? We talked about the people going to Davos for their economic conference and how many private jets and how much energy that those guys wasted getting to their conference, yet they're talking about, you know, us, useful eaters, basically, taking up resources and emitting carbon. Just for those who think that they're talking about cars and, you know, coal-powered factories, what they're talking about with carbon emissions is you. Every time you exhale, that's carbon dioxide that you're exhaling. The next people, once they get you this thing online and they start taxing the hell out of everybody, they're going to start talking about population control, because that's the real, according to them, if you really read their articles, you are the problem. Too many people on the earth taking resources, emitting CO2, and it's killing the planet and the resources. Complete lie, for that matter. The population actually is pretty stable, and it's projected to drop as it goes on. So it's not many people. It's not going to increase at the same rate. And two, if you didn't have all these conglomerates literally monopolizing resources, creating false lack, you wouldn't have half the problems that we have now. I mean, if you look at the food industry, and Monsanto, for example, their genetically modified crops don't grow. They don't grow. They don't yield as much as a natural crop, right? They also cannot, in some instances, reproduce themselves. The seeds cannot be used to be replanted to create more crops. You have to go through them. This is the control of the food industry by claiming that they're hybridizing and helping people and helping developing countries to, you know, fight off famine, put extra vitamin A in rice, all sorts of things that they're telling you that's awesome. On the flip side, their crop yield has dropped. What they've actually introduced into society is ruining natural crops because it cross-pollinates. You have chemicals that are literally within the seed that just kill off, you know, weeds that actually get ingested by us, because once it's in the seed, it's in the DNA. When you eat it, it's in you as well. I mean, all sorts of things that they claim are good, when you really extrapolate it out, it's ruining the food supply. It's poisoning the people. There are farmers in India who committed suicide because their rice crops were basically useless, and they had to buy them every year from the company in order to be a farmer. I mean, this is the reality. There's always a human cost to everything that they're telling us. And apparently, as this continues to roll out, it's becoming clear to anybody who wants to see that humans are not worth it in their system, that we are a problem, that we are just taking up resources from somebody else and meaning them. And they need to control that from cradle to grave. What you think about yourself, the children are learning that the earth is more important than humans, that we are like a parasite, not that we can all live in harmony and in an ecosystem. They're not learning that. And as they become adults and they start to think less of each other and themselves, they will be ripe for the mill, the culling that society is going to put on them. So when you get to be 30 and 40 and 50 and you have a medical condition, you're going to start getting less services. And you're going to think to yourself, well, I lived a good life. I don't deserve it. I'm taking from somebody else, and I'm ruining the earth, so I should want hospice. You get a willing crowd who won't argue, who will just do what they're told, who won't want to fight back, who's not even emotionally capable of knowing that they need to fight back. That's the system that they're creating. And anybody who's outside of that is a problem. Right now, it's kind of de facto. You know, they'll try to bully you, shut you down, do things to make it harder for you to succeed, tax the heck out of you, and try to break your spirit. That's what they're doing now. But if we allow that to happen, it's going to become de jure, where it's by law that they do things to us to make sure that we don't get outside the box. We have one of the most energizing times to live in, because we have choices that can change the direction of our world in the future. And I don't think there's any of the generation to this point that's been under this much pressure to do the right thing. I mean, we have power. We just need to take it back.
We have to exert that power, and we have to do it in the very, very near future. We can't go on like this. I personally don't think we have many years, if years at all. We've got to take back our country and take it back in many, many ways, from the medical standpoint, military standpoint, economic standpoint. We've got to do it.
I would agree with that. And as America goes, I think the rest of the world will follow. I mean, we're supposed to lead, not just be part of a whole. It's happened to our country. This is a perfect example of where we stood once and had self-respect, self-esteem, was in a position that we could help people when they needed our help. That's all been decimated. Now it's all about us, quote, leading from behind, whatever that means, being part of a global system, dumbing down our system, you know, ruining our healthcare system, our education system, in order to fit in with a global system, right? This is an example. And it's happening now individually. The government's trying to do that, or make the individual citizen do that as well. It doesn't work. I mean, look at Greece. They went into a system, you know, optimistically, which never would have worked. Now it's not. They've had to sell their country piece by piece to foreigners for pennies on the dollar to pay for debt that they didn't really own in the first place, that they'll never be able to pay off, which they realized, and they're trying to get out of it. That's the system. It literally bankrupted them and chewed them up and spit them out. And now that they're getting to a point that they're tired of this and they're rioting and there's all sorts of getting your back up, that's what they're afraid of. That's going to happen within the European Union. It's going to happen throughout the world, because ultimately, I think humanity is designed to be individual, to be free-flowing, free-thinking. It's not designed to do this, to be told to do what you do, what somebody else wants you to do, to be a sheep. That's not how human nature really works. And everybody yearns to have creativity, to be able to do what they're put on this earth to do. I don't care what color, what religion, anything. I think that's a natural human trait. And anything that subjugates that is never going to work for a long period of time.
But can this be bred out of us? Can we,
yeah.
Can we, you know, and that's what the government seems to be doing, breeding any initiative that an individual might have. They want to, the initiative to work out every day and stay healthy is being drowned out by, don't worry about it, just eat what Michelle says to eat and you'll be healthy and you don't have to worry about your health. We'll take care of you.
Exactly. Or you're too dumb to do it yourself, or because you want to take care of yourself and you're taking it from somebody else. They've totally demonized the individual as if the individual is the problem. You know, this whole immunity nonsense. If the theory of herd immunity, which is if you vaccinate a majority of the population, then people who decide not to are not going to be able to hurt the herd. I mean, that's the whole point of it. You can't have 100% vaccination. This doesn't make any sense on any level. If herd immunity worked, then you wouldn't have this push to vaccinate everybody because you wouldn't need to. Because if you had a majority of the cohort vaccinated, that protects the majority of the people. I said it last week, there's something going on. Either it's the people who've come into the country who are not vaccinated that are getting these vaccines or getting these measles, for example. And we predicted that in the summer that would happen. Or these vaccines don't work. And people have taken them. They've taken boosters, but they don't work and they keep getting the virus.
But
for them to tell you that it's 100% effective is a lie in itself.
But, you know, let's look at what's happened. And, you know, they're yelling epidemic, and all this kind of stuff today. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously more kids will get it, I suppose. But we've got 300 million people in the United States. And at this point, there have been, what, 100 cases reported?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't, and we've had what, two or three deaths, maybe three, four, you know. And I'm sorry,
I'm not sure they've died from measles. I'm not sure that's the case.
Yeah, I mean,
there's people who've died from the measles vaccine though, from taking it.
So I have a lot of questions in my mind. And at the same token, just like you said, if it's so effective, then nobody should get it. But at the same token, if 100 out of 300 million, I mean, that's a infinitesimally small amount of folks, or
it
kids.
Is. And it's the same letter that was used to sell the Gardasil vaccine. 4,000 people die of HPV, cervical cancer, unrelated HPV, of the human papillomavirus per year. And of those patients, 99% of those are people who have some issue. Depressed immune system. They never go to the doctor. They have, you know, they live a lifestyle where they're basically, their ability to fight off any infection is so poor because nutritionally, you know, socially, they're just out there. It's not going to work for them. But in majority of the people who get HPV, the body clears it naturally. So for to force every girl, every young girl to get a vaccine that's not been it still has not been tested for safety long term, to force that on people, to not know what the long term effects are, to be driving people by via fear to get something that potentially can harm them is unconscionable. This is a problem. There's no informed consent when they do these things. And even the AMA has a tenet within it that states that doctors should not do anything to a patient, offer them any service without informed consent. And therefore, ethically, any doctor who gives a patient, who forces a patient to take a shot by duress, by trying to tell them they're going to remove them from the practice, or God forbid, remove their child from the home because they're a bad parent, that's unethical. You should be removed. You shouldn't even be a doctor if you think that way. Give them informed consent.
Let the patient
make their mind up.
Let's talk more about that when we come back from our final break. You're listening to Medicine On Call. We'll be back with Dr. George right after this.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for Medicine on Call. Learn strategies to protect you and your family in the age of Obamacare.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think one of the most important things about today's show is that the ability for someone to consent to a procedure, to a medication, to anything that they're going to put into their body or into their child's system or that affects them, currently or in the future, it needs to happen. It needs to be given in order for somebody to make a logical, reasonable choice. And the thing with this,
Dr. George, let me interrupt you and ask you this. Okay, there are people like myself that will go in and ask the doctor questions. There are mm-hmm. other people that say, well, you're the doctor, I'm not going to ask any questions. So should the doctor be the one that takes the step forward and says, okay, now, I suggest that you do this, but you need to consider that these are the side effects that are possible. These are, you know, this is the problem that could occur. So you should the doctor take that upon themselves to inform, or are you going to leave it strictly in the patient's lap, which in many cases the patient will just sit there and do nothing?
I think what you said about the doctor giving the pros and cons, the risks, the benefits, so that you provide both sides of the argument. You might have your personal opinion about something, but it's not for you to make the decision for the patient. And anything, even if it's a cancer treatment or a surgery, you can say, I mean, obviously there are instances where the patient can't consent. They're in an accident. They're unconscious. It's a life and death situation where their airway's compromised. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a stable patient with a problem or a potential problem, and you need to present them. It's an argument that they have that you need to present to them. That is what informed consent is. If I want to do surgery on somebody, I just don't sign them up. I talk to them, I give them options, tell them you have a medical option, you have a surgical option. If you choose the medical option, this is what will happen. This is what potentially can happen. And if you choose the surgical option, these are the risks and benefits of the procedure. In the history of this surgery, these are the complications that have happened. This is the percentage that it could happen. And you have any questions and you decide. I don't tell somebody who needs surgery, if you don't do surgery, you need to find another doctor, or I'm just going to sign you up. I don't care what you want. I know what's best for you. I mean, really, that's what we're talking about here. That's the options as they're being presented to these people, to patients, about vaccination.
Let me ask, under Obamacare, we're all the same, and so, you know,
sure.
If I go and read a book about the surgery that you want to perform on me, well, I'm just like the lady that you had in right before me. I'm just like the man that you have in after me. I'm just like everybody else that you've ever performed this surgery on. So really, we're all the same. So what difference does it make?
That's the mentality. It's a one-size-fits-all collective Borg-like mentality where not only should I give you the same thing, but you should have the same effect and the same result. And if you don't, then I did something wrong. As a doctor, I'm at fault. Not that maybe your genetic makeup doesn't respond the same way to medication. Maybe it's that you didn't take the medication that you were prescribed. Maybe you decided to go on a binge and drink or eat fast food, and that's why your blood pressure went up. None of that responsibility now falls on the patient. It falls on the physician. It falls on the hospital. It's the doctor's fault that something didn't have a good outcome, whatever that means to the powers that be. And now the good outcome may be if you have this diagnosis, there is not expected that you will survive. Therefore, we're not going to spend any money or resources on you. And any doctor who wants to be your advocate, who wants to fight for you, to say to us, this patient is special, this patient is not special, but different, I think that we should spend the resources. If I decide as a doctor to do that, then I could be removed from the system because I'm an outlier. I'm a doctor who's causing havoc, wreaking havoc, who's losing money for the institution. Peer review will come for me. I mean, this is a system that's really, it's putting us in a position where the doctor is going to have to work against the interest of the patient if they expect to continue to be a doctor. And they're selecting out doctors who are going to go, I don't care. I'll do what I have to do because I need a job. Or I'm not. I have to pay my mortgage. Or worse yet, I agree with the system, and this person is just taking resources from a younger person who really needs it. This is what they're doing. This is social engineering on a medical level to match what's going on throughout society socially. And anybody who's thinking for themselves is given less and less choice to be individuals. If I get an electronic medical record system, I can't close the record until I fill in meaningful use questions. Have you ever tried to hurt yourself? Is there a gun in the home? How many people live in your home? This is all part of an established treatment record. You know, they're coming in for a follow-up visit. That has to be filled out every time the patient comes. Otherwise, you're not fulfilling meaningful use. And if you take Medicaid and Medicare, you won't get paid. Right, that's right now. But I think at some point they're going to fine you for not filling it. So this is not a free, it's not a free market system. We already know that. But it's not a free choice system either. And people who sit back and don't do due diligence, who listen to people like, you know, what's his face? What is Paltrow? Oh, my God. Or any of these Hollywood types or these Congress critters tell you that they know what's best for you. And anybody who's against this is against you, is taking something from you. And therefore, you should fight them. You should go after them. Is not doing themselves a service. They're actually putting themselves in a position where they're greasing the skids to go into a hospice when they get sick. You know, this is, honestly, this is a system that's completely ghoulish. You know, I have no interest in being part of the system, and any doctor, any healthcare professional who actually has a conscience won't enter this system. You're going to be left with the worst of our ilk, who will have no problem withholding care, pulling a hook, demonizing, I mean, not informing you of any risk, not giving you the opportunity to make an informed choice, and taking it away from you. And that means something simple, like withholding medication when you're in the ICU, putting you on more morphine and not telling your family, slow walking you to death without being, you know, obvious about it, since you don't have a choice to fight. That's not a system that people want to be a part of. And all the people who are liberal and progressive and think that they're doing the right thing and that it's the good of the many outweighs the needs of the few, and it's some selfish senior citizen who's taking all these resources because they should just go ahead and die, you're next. You know, think about that. Everybody's going to be a senior citizen at some point. Do you want to live in a system where someone is just waiting for you, helping you die, as opposed to helping you live with an excellent quality of life? And what happened to prevention in this system? It doesn't exist. The prevention is take a vaccine, you know, for, you know, do something that's counter to what your health really is, because that's what we say to do. Yeah, that's retarded. It doesn't make any kind of sense on any level.
Why, you know, just what you said is very simple to understand. Why can't we make people understand it?
I think people have to get off the pop train where it's all about being distracted by silly things about whether some celebrity is going to have a baby or not. That's irrelevant. I mean, to me, I said this a couple years ago, I think, but if it doesn't put food on my table, if it doesn't make me safe, if it doesn't add to my quality of life, it's not important. Whatever they're trying to superimpose on us, you know, the next new star, upcoming star, whatever reality show they're trying to shove down our throats, really just disengage from that. It's just a distraction. I don't mind the people watching it, but they don't live for it, for God's sake. You know, this is the next, you know, you're willing to do whatever they tell you in this Big Brother system, where they put a bow on it and make it okay, but you need to pull back the lid on this thing and look at what could happen. Look at your life critically. Do you have a job that you're fulfilled with? Are you doing something that makes you happy when you get up to go to work? You know, these are things that are really affect you. Are you making enough money to save for your future, your child's future? Is what you're doing basically fulfilling you? And if it's not, and if you find that something is not working, the answer is not to distract yourself further. It's to find out what it is and fix it. Because when you do that, you become less victimized, less a target, less beholden to these people who want to control you. There's nothing more important, nothing more empowering, honestly, than being prepared. Being prepared for what if. When you have the ability to take care of yourself and not have to go to a supermarket to get water because there's some sort of disaster that's happened, that you know that you have the facilities economically to handle your business because you saved. Now, you didn't buy the big screen TV. You'd forego things, you know, once in a while. Do the right thing instead of the easy thing, instead of the instant gratification thing, because down the road they will not serve you. That's what you have to think about. What if? And if you get into that mode, you're really not, it's like Teflon. When they start to throw these things at you, you should be afraid of this disaster is coming down the pipe. You really don't care because you're prepared for it. That's the mindset I think that people need to start getting into. And that your body means something, that you want to protect whatever God gave you. Whatever your skill, your gift, you want to use it and you want to protect it. And anything that's trying to take it from you, you step away from the table.
And you get only one opportunity. You can't keep going back. What you have is yours. Keep it and use it.
Well, you know, we're human. We'll make mistakes. So, you know, you may fall off the wagon and fall back into the trap, but if you know that there's another way, you need to know that you have options and choices, and you need to make conscious choices, no matter what it is. If you want to take a vaccine, have at it, but I have no interest in doing it for myself. And because I can't, I have to let my patients know exactly what I've learned to be the benefits and the risks. They can make up their own choice, but I'm not going to go along and feed that narrative that there's no thought involved with it, that it's potentially hurting somebody. At the very least, it doesn't work the way they say it does.
We got
so
about a half a minute.
It's not 100% anything. Thanks. So it's not 100% of anything of what they say. When they start giving you absolutes, you need to question that. That's all I have to say.
And it's so easy to question it today, too. That we've got the internet.
Is.
We've got other doctors to go to. Ask. Ask your friends.
And if your doctor doesn't want to give you an answer, they've not read it themselves, then I would move on because that doctor does not have my interest at heart. They're just willing to just do the basics to get paid and to next. You just don't want to be in a system like that. It'll never serve you, and you'll end up paying more in the future.
Dr. George, as always, it's been a pleasure, my pleasure being with you, and the audience always gets something out of it, and we do appreciate it, and we look forward to being with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call next week.
Thanks for listening.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.